T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Outstanding to be with you guys on a Monday night. Kevin Wheeler here on Sports Open Line. We're jumping around. It's one of the, we haven't had a lot of full two-hour shows here lately, and well, we only have a couple of them this week, Monday and Friday. We've got Billikens game tomorrow night, which is a big one. They're taking on number 11, Memphis. We're going to talk about that with Bob Ramsey next hour, and I'll probably talk some baseball with Rammer too. But we have that tomorrow. We've got the Billikens women's game on Wednesday and Thursday night football on Thursday. So we're only kind of bookending the week with two-hour shows, so I'm trying to get as much as I can into those two shows starting with tonight. So we're going to have some baseball in a little bit. We'll talk about the Cardinals announcing the coaching staff for 2022. We'll talk about the Rookie of the Year voting. Dylan Carlson finished third in the National League, which was expected, I think. He was, you know, listed as one of three finalists, but it, you know, when you looked at the other two guys, Jonathan India, who won, and Trevor Rogers of the Marlins, it was pretty clear that Carlson was going to probably finish third in that group. But we'll talk a bit more about that, because Randy Rosarena was also the American League Rookie of the Year. So interesting that the Cardinals had three people that they kind of developed wind up getting Rookie of the Year votes, the other one being Adolis Garcia. So we'll talk about that later on. Like I mentioned, we'll talk Billikens later on in the hour, or in next hour, I should say. But we're starting with hockey tonight. Coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to bring Darren Pang into the mix. Obviously, we'll talk about what's going on with the Blues, which it's not been as great here the last handful of days. It's not anything, I don't think anything to be all that concerned about. I mean, you know, like some other teams, they're missing a bunch of players on the COVID list. Not to mention, you know, Braden Schenn's been out with an upper body injury, and Oscar Sundquist still hasn't come back yet from the long-term IR, but it looks like he's coming back. Like, both he and Schenn have been described as day-to-day, so that's good news. It sounds like some other guys are going to be coming back here from the COVID list at some point soon. So, yeah, it's been rough lately, though. I mean, three straight losses by one goal. The overtime game against Nashville, the game against Carolina Saturday night, last night's game against Edmonton. I mean, the overall result is fine. I mean, 8-4-2 is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, a little bit rougher here lately, allowing 12 goals in the last three games and, you know, losing four of the last five games, with the only win being the shootout win against the Winnipeg Jets. So, again, it's been a little bumpier. I mean, if you want to go back a little further, to the loss against Colorado at Enterprise Center, you could look at it and say, well, you've lost six of your last nine. Now, you've gotten points in a couple of those losses, but still. And most of them are one-goal losses, right? I mean, the loss to the Avalanche I just mentioned was a 4-3 loss. You had a 3-2 loss in the shootout against L.A., 4-3 in overtime against Nashville, 3-2 against Carolina, 5-4 last night. So you're in the games, but you know, the Blues are having some problems, well, on the blue line. I mean, let's just be honest. They're, you know, Jeremy Rutherford broke it down really well today. Got into, you know, the problems that they're having on the top pairing, with Marco Scandella and Colton Parayko not playing particularly well here in the last few games. And then, of course, you have Krug on the COVID list and Nico Mikkola on the COVID list. And, You know, you've got some younger and some inexperienced guys that have been playing and fine, you know, like helping out, but they need more from the top pairing. And I thought JR did a really good job of breaking that down for the Athletic today. We'll talk more about that with Darren Pang in a few minutes too. But sounds like Krug and Mikkola might be back here in the not too distant future. Scott Perunovic has been called up. The Blues had to do some salary cap maneuvering to make it happen. That included sending Dakota Joshua, Joel Hofer, and one other person. Oh, it was Callie Rosen to Springfield, and also placing Kyle Clifford on waivers. So we'll see if he clears. But you know, doing that is what it took to get Perunovic on the roster within the cap rules. And I mean, Perunovic is having a really strong season for Springfield, and you know, it makes sense that you want to bring up a player that's been hot. I mean, he's I think he's had, what, 2 goals and 18 assists already for Springfield. So, you know, getting him up here should add a little bit of offense. I don't know that it helps your top pairing. And he's certainly, you know, not a big guy. So I know teams like defensemen with size on the top pairing, especially when you're going up against the other team's top units and, you know, playing on the PK and all that stuff. But, you know, getting Krug back would help. He's not a big guy, but getting him back would help because he's experienced. You know, having Mikkola back would help. And, you know, Perunovic is here. I can't imagine he's here to watch. I would imagine he's here to play, and we'll see what he can do to contribute moving forward as well. So it's been, a little bit of a battle here in the last, you know, let's say, week and a half. And, again, normal to me, it's just normal regular season sports stuff, right? I mean, you're going to have periods of time where things aren't going as well. But, you know, when you've got 6 total losses and, what is it, 5 of them are 1-goal games, you're not far off. You know, I mean, like, again, that's it's as simple as you're a player 2 away in every game from winning the game or getting a point or whatever. So that's, I mean, again, it doesn't make it okay because they're not making those plays. You know, the late goal in the first period for Connor McDavid last night, you know, it's one of those just, I know it's Connor McDavid. I mean, I know what he is and who he is. So I think we'll talk about that with Panger too, but it was a tough goal timing-wise because the Blues had really controlled most of the first period, and having a late letdown changed the feel of the game, and it really changed the way the second and third period, or what happened in the second and third period. Give the Blues credit for fighting back in the game and getting back into it, but still a loss is a loss there. And, you know, I think we'd all like to see a little bit more success at home. I mean, it's not been a quote-unquote problem yet, but you're 3-2-1 at home and you're 5-2-1 on the road. And, you know, when we go back to last year, you know, the home record was a bit of an issue. They were only a game over 500 at home last year. And, you know, that's obviously less than ideal, especially when you look back, you know, before COVID hit in 2019-2020, they were an elite home team, 23-7-5. So that's definitely, I think, something that they're going to want to get back to doing is controlling home ice more than they have last year and so far this year. All right, let's get to more on the Blues with someone that knows it better than most any of us, and that would be Darren Pang from Bally Sports Midwest and the NHL on TNT. So Darren Pang is going to be our guest when we come back here on KISS.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
MOX. All right, back in on KMOX, talking a little hockey tonight as the Blues have the night off in advance of tomorrow's game against the Arizona Coyotes. A little bit of a rough weekend in terms of results, and certainly, you know, not a full roster. And a lot of guys are still on the sidelines waiting for some of them to come back, and that's kind of where we're going to start our conversation with Darren Pang. Of course, works with the Blues on Bally Sports Midwest, also part of the NHL on TNT broadcast. And first of all, Panger, thank you for doing this. I always appreciate you. And second of all, I've always enjoyed what you guys do at Bally Sports Midwest. You guys are the best. But I'm really enjoying the crew on TNT. You guys have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, Kevin. I appreciate it. And I always like being on the show here. I mean, obviously, I love working with John Kelly. I think he's one of the great pros, and I think that he deserves national time and has for some time. But, you know, when I go on the road and I do that work with TNT, I know that their mantra is the same thing you just said. It is to have fun. Share some stories. Social media is a big part. If someone's tweeting something, have some fun with it. I've really enjoyed it. And the last thing I want this point in my career is to go to a rink and be stressed out about something. I want to go there, watch hockey, call hockey, have some fun, and then that's what it should be all about. So I thank you for that, and I know it's going to be a great relationship with TNT and the National Hockey League.
You know, it's funny. I think it was one of the first couple of nights of the season, Panger, and obviously having Wayne Gretzky in studio as an analyst is pretty amazing. And I forget who the player was. I tweeted about it that night. But the player, you know, is doing a post-game interview, and the first question comes, hey, it's Wayne Gretzky. And then he follows the question. Like, that's got to be surreal for these players, you know, having Wayne Gretzky be the guy leading in with a question on a post-game.
Yeah, I think that was Cam Atkinson of the Philadelphia Flyers.
It was, yes.
I remember thinking the same thing, and that's typical Wayne. Hey, because when Wayne meets somebody, he says, I'm Wayne Gretzky or whatever, and people, you know, they always do the same thing. They're like, yeah, I think we figured that out. I mean, I think Wayne is, the bottom line is for Wayne at this point of his career is to have fun as well and to make sure that, you know, he goes there and he's probably learning something new. Like the same thing that we all learn, you know, every time we venture into something new. I remember when Wayne was the head coach of the Arizona Coyotes, I went to Arizona and I was part of that 4 years, and it was fantastic. And just to see a guy like Wayne that doesn't have to do that to put himself on the line, it just shows you what kind of guy he is.
Well, you guys, again, a lot of fun with the TNT crew, and obviously I'm a fan of everybody at Bally Sports Midwest. I mean, you guys are all fantastic, and would enjoy talking hockey with you guys whenever we get the opportunity to do it. A little bit of a rough stretch here for the Blues, Panger. It's not like things are falling apart. I mean, we were joking off air about how many guys are missing and trying to get some guys back from the COVID list, and obviously upper body injury for Braden Schenn, and we all know other teams are dealing with this stuff too, but boy, it would be nice to have some of these guys in these one-goal losses, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, it absolutely would. And the nice thing about this team is they don't make excuses. They're not into that part of the business. They're into, hey, we're here right now. This is the present. And what we did the last couple of games isn't good enough. There were points in both the games in Carolina, which is a very good team, against Edmonton, another very good team, mm-hmm. that I thought the Blues played some great hockey. Really good hockey, Kevin. And to climb back into it and basically to play the way they did, was outstanding. But at the same time, to lose the games in the dramatic fashion that they did is not acceptable for this group of players or the coaching staff. So that part of it will get tidied up. You mentioned the players. Obviously, they sent some players down to the American Hockey League to make room for Scott Perunovich. And that tells me that we're expecting maybe a boatload of players back from COVID and maybe from injury as well.
That's a good point. And that's where I wanted to go first, Panger, is what's happening on defense. I know Perunovich originally didn't get the call because of cap reasons. I know Doug Armstrong explained that very well, but they've sorted all of that out. And, you know, with guys coming back, they won't need to carry as many extras, so they can fit him in now. But the defensive group as a whole, it seems to be the biggest question right now, Panger, finding the right combinations of guys. It feels like when Krug and Falk are together, and obviously Krug has been out on the COVID list, they've been a really solid pair, but it seems like they're still searching for the right combos on the other two.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think it's very hard to replicate what the Blues had, Kevin, when they won, and that would be Jay Bouwmeester and how sound he was, how in control he was on the ice, how much ice he covered. Listen, the guy's he's as close to a Hall of Fame defenseman as you're going to find out there. So to plant Marco Scandella there and expect that it's going to be the same I don't think is reasonable. There's been some moments where Scandella and Parayko, Kevin, have played really, really well together. Mm-hmm. And then there's just been some matchups that just haven't fit for them. And the coaching staff, they've tried. Callie Rosen jumps up there. You've seen, you know, Falk gets double shifted, but you can't have Parayko and Falk on the ice in a minute and 50 seconds shifts and be on the right side, be on the left side, going up against the other team's best players. And that's a lot to ask as well. So I think as a whole, both the forwards have to do a better job of back-checking. You know, you can't just leave those odd man rushes to your defensemen no matter how good they are. Yeah. And so I think that's an area to clean up to help out the defensemen. And I think the defensemen have to do a better job of not backing in and backing in and backing in and allowing prime grade A-plus scoring chances on the rush as well.
Panger, you mentioned Perunovich at the beginning of all that. He's going to get a crack, I would assume, to be in the lineup. I can't imagine they're calling him up to have him watch. I would assume he's coming into play. And, boy, he was doing some really nice things offensively at Springfield and certainly a guy that they're very high on.
Very, very high on. Had a tremendous, Traverse City camp, all scouts that were there, and there are a ton of pro scouts all over. They said, you know, by far, he was the most dominant player there and certainly the best prospect for the Blues. Camp was good for Scott Perunovich. I think the thing that hurts, and hurt Perunovich is that, you know, you can't have too many smaller defensemen on your team. You've got Torrey Krug. He handles the power play. That would be an area, if he wasn't here, that maybe Perunovich would get some, you know, some looks there on the point on the power play, because he's a really strong hockey sense, calmness. Good passer. He's got a heavier shot than you would think from a smaller type of player. But now you're going to have Torrey Krug coming back from the COVID. You're going to have Mikula coming back. And then you're going to have Perunovich. So, you know, that's a pretty good look right there. And that's going to make it ultra competitive too for a guy like Jake Walman, yeah, who's had some really good spurts, but obviously needs to maybe maintain a little bit more of a consistent game.
Panger, on the other side of the ledger here, we have the forward group, and boy, a couple of young guys have just been phenomenal. You know, Jordan Kyrou had the breakout year last year, and he's continued to build on that. Robert Thomas has been one of the better playmakers in the Western Conference so far, especially here in about the last 5 or 6 days or so. He's been a really nice hot streak. Very cool to watch guys that are young like that assert themselves and really be consistent offensive presences.
Yeah, and it does go to show you that you have to have patience, because it does take a little bit of time. And even though the success that Robert Thomas had right off the bat in winning the Stanley Cup and playing as a 19-year-old was something spectacular and special, you know, from that point, there were some ups and downs. There's some growing pains and some maturity levels that you've got to reach. And I'm really impressed with Robert Thomas. He's an unbelievable person. He cares about the game and he cares about his teammates. And it's great to see him play the way he's playing at both ends of the ice. And he matched up last night with McDavid, and he did an excellent job. So the times that McDavid had chances were the times that neither O'Reilly and Thomas were on the ice. So that says a lot about his growth as well. And you know what? Jordan Kyrou is just a unique player. He's kind of like he's almost like a point guard, wide receiver, running back. You know, he's a terrific athlete, and you can see how explosive he is going east-west. And the way that he dangles out there is really deceptive. So, I mean, his future is bright. Now it's just all about doing that every single night, yeah. Making sure that you don't wear down like he did last year a little bit, because he got off to a great start last year as well, and then sort of ran out of gas a little bit. So it's imperative that he continues this play, because the Blues are counting on him to be that difference maker.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And it's nice to see 91 scoring goals again, Panger. I mean, I know it's been a rough couple of years with the surgeries for Vlad, but 7 goals in 14 games. He's got some assists mixed in there as well. It's really nice. I know there are times he probably could do some things better, but it's great to see, you know, that guy leading the team in goals and showing that he still has that ability now that he's healthier.
Oh, no question about it. I think now we can finally safely say, let's throw the last, you know, year and a half out the window. Because this is 91's back, and there's no denying, there's no question about that. The way he zips through traffic, his conditioning looks far superior than what it has been. You can tell by just the length of his shifts, and I keep an eye on that all the time, you know, and his frustration level. I think the last couple of years when his shifts are 15, 20, 25 seconds, well, that's not good enough for anybody. It's not good enough for your line mates that are mm-hmm. expecting 45 to 50 second shifts, and all of a sudden your winger's off the ice. Now you got to make a change. You know, now he's out there. He's got a great command of the shifts. He's changing well. He's been an unselfish player. I think it's, you know, and he's a difference maker, as you said. He's an elite shooter, an elite scorer, and a difference maker in the league. And the Blues, you know, the Blues need him here, and they need him playing the way he's playing right now. And that's been the good news.
Panger, I know the team has been approaching this, as you pointed out, with, you know, no excuses. What we have has to be good enough, and everybody else is dealing with their own injuries and guys on the COVID list and all that. But it does look like it's getting closer to being the roster that they envisioned, and especially with Oscar Sundquist coming back soon. And, you know, he's a guy that when they acquired him, Panger, I'm not sure many people knew what to expect. But, oh, my goodness, when he's on the ice, and I know he hasn't been yet this year, but when he's on the ice, it just feels like he makes something good happen almost every shift.
Yeah, a lot like, you know, I mean, Ivan Barbashev does the same thing.
Yeah,
they're the ultimate utility tools. Oscar Sundquist is a special player. He's got an uncanny ability to understand the tempo of the game and make something happen. He is so competitive. His hockey sense is really, really high. And hockey sense means, obviously, making a play or understanding who's on the ice or reading a play. But it's also timing of the game. It's also understanding when you've got to go in there and get a big hit, when you've got to come back in your own zone and just take absolute control of the defending part of the game. So he's been greatly missed and out of sight, out of mind. And that's very true. And that's unfortunate. But it's not until we see number 70 back on the ice are we going to truly appreciate how much we missed Oscar mm-hmm. Sundquist.
Last thing, and I want to go back to something that you brought up from last night's game with Connor McDavid being out there for the Oilers. Panger, I saw this on Twitter. I think it was last night. Yeah, it was last night, because it was right after McDavid's goal. That got him to 600 points, which makes him the sixth fastest player in terms of games played. So the group that he's in now is Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Peter Stastny, Mike Bossy, and Jari Kurri. And, of course, nowhere close to the pace of Wayne Gretzky. You only needed 274 games to get to 600 points. But Connor McDavid is really the modern version of those guys, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is something special. I mean, when we talk about generational players, I think we throw that out mm-hmm. kind of loosely. But, you know, Connor McDavid's his ability could play in any era. And you just can't take your eyes off the guy. there was a shift last night. I'm sure I saw, we have this SMT technology that there's a chip on player tracking on the player's sweaters. And it tells me immediately how long their shift was, how hard they shot the puck. And I believe he had 3 shifts of a minute and 50 seconds. Now, that's old school. You know, we saw that back in the day. Like, Wayne Gretzky did have 2-minute shifts. Bernie Parco did have 2-minute shifts. But nowadays they don't. But it just tells you that, I mean, he can change directions in a heartbeat. He can change the flow of the game. But last night, if you're watching that game last night, you're just as impressed with how hard he came back to his own zone to break up a play, to back check, to strip our guys of the puck. There were many times where the Blues mm-hmm. crossed the blue line, were gliding, thinking they had time, and either Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid, they were right there on their hip, took the puck, and went the other way. That's leadership.
Nah, great point. Great point. Panger, thank you so much. I know you're a busy man with the double duty between Bally Sports Midwest and TNT, but I always appreciate it when you make time for us. You are the best. Thanks for doing this, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Enterprise Center here pretty soon.
Yeah, my pleasure, Kevin. Thanks for having me on again.
Every time Darren Pang can come on, I will have him on. Darren, thank you, man. You're the best. You can find him on Twitter. I'm sure you know this already, but you know, just in case, at Panger40. And a lot of interesting stuff going on with the Blues at this point. Again, nothing I'm overly concerned about, but, you know, just like, you know, you got off to the 5-0-0 start. Well, now you're kind of on the other end of that during a five-game stretch, and it's kind of how things go with the up and down. And it's been more that way, I think, for a bunch of teams this year because of guys going on and off the COVID list. So hopefully getting through that once will be all there is. And hopefully we don't have to do that again. I don't know if you guys have been tracking this, but the Ottawa Senators are now shut down for at least three games. They've been shut down till at least this coming Saturday because I believe they have like 10, 11 people on the COVID list. So they don't, you know, they just don't have a team. So yeah, hopefully nothing like that with the Blues. And it hasn't been that bad, but they have had a bunch of key guys out, and hopefully we'll get them back here soon and the Blues can get things going back in the other direction. All right, changing gears coming up next. Let's talk some baseball. Cardinals finalized their coaching staff. We'll tell you about the new guys. One of them's new, but really not so much new to the Cardinals organization. And we'll talk quickly about the Rookie of the Year voting in the American League and National League as well. So a little baseball when we come back on KMOX. All right, let's roll along here. We're going to shift to some baseball for a bit. We'll talk some Billikens with Bob Ramsey coming up in about 35 minutes or so. We'll have Rammer in around 7:15, talk some hoops. And whenever he and I talk, we're going to talk baseball too. It's just going to happen. So we'll get to that. In addition to the Billikens talk, as the Billikens get ready to take on number 11 Memphis on the road tomorrow night. All right, let's do a couple of quick hitters here on some baseball stuff, and we'll probably run with that until we get to Bob Ramsey at 7:15. And we got a bunch of different places we're going to go. Number one, Cardinals announced their coaching staff today, the finalized coaching staff for 2022. So simple way to put this is Ollie Marmol is the new manager. We've known that. We've talked about that. Two new coaches, and then everybody else is back. So Mike Maddux, Jeff Albert, Brian Ebersgaard, Stubby Clapp, Pop Warner, Willie McGee, a bunch of the other guys, you know, like Jamie Pogue and Dusty Blake. And other, like everybody else is back. The guys that are not back, or the guys that are new, obviously, are Skip Schumacher, who's the new bench coach, and Turner Ward is the new assistant hitting coach. And I'll say that, you know, I think we would all agree. I don't know that anybody's going to offer up any disagreement about Skip Schumacher being a good hire. I mean, he not only was he a damn good player, came up in the Cardinals organization, but he's already held this role at the major league level with the Padres. And I mean, I know they called him the associate manager the last 2 years, but that was essentially the bench coach role. And he was the first base coach for a couple of years before that. So he's already been a major league coach for 4 years. He's done things with player development in the Padres organization. And, of course, we all know about his playing career with the Cardinals and how well-respected he is. So, I mean, that to me is the ultimate no-brainer. I mean, we were talking about him as a guy that would be a great candidate to manage the team, you know, along with Ollie Marmol and Stubby Clapp and a couple, you know, Matt Holliday's name was in there. But I mean, Skip was a guy that made a lot of sense for that. In fact, John Mozeliak even mentioned that with our own Tom Ackerman yesterday on Sports on a Sunday morning, saying that, you know, that this is obviously a guy they really, really wanted for this bench coach role, but that he was also a serious candidate for the managerial position, that this was a guy that holds a lot of appeal for the Cardinals organization. So I think Skip is a no-brainer addition. In fact, I think it's a good idea what they did with both Skip Schumacher and Turner Ward coming in as the assistant hitting coach, is they brought two guys with legitimate, significant major league playing experience and put them on the staff. Now, they have that. You know, Mike Maddux had a long career in the big leagues. Obviously, Willie McGee had a long career in the big leagues. And I don't think that's a prerequisite for being a good coach or manager. I mean, you know, the big leagues are loaded with all different kinds of examples. You know, great hitting coaches that were never great hitters, great managers that were never great players, but also, you know, it is important to have players that are, I should say, coaches that have been through it and not just for a cup of coffee here or there, but have been through the grind like Willie McGee has, like Turner Ward has. I mean, he had, you know, at least what? I think he had 10, 11, 12 years in the big leagues. Some of those might have been back and forth years, but still, you know, 12 years is what he's credited for with big league service time. He's been a hitting coach for the Dodgers, the Reds, and the Diamondbacks. He's got a previous relationship from the Diamondbacks with Paul Goldschmidt. So there's a lot that makes sense about that, and it's a good compliment, or at least in theory. I mean, we don't know for sure. We never know for sure. But in theory, it's a good compliment for Jeff Albert, who, you know, is really great with the tech, you know, is implementing, you know, kind of a broader approach to improving offense throughout the entire organization, not just at the major league level. And but having a guy complimenting him that, you know, played in the big leagues for 12 years is good. I think you want to have as much balance and as many complementary skill sets as you can have on a coaching staff. So there's nothing controversial about this. Of course, there are a few people on Twitter like, sigh, Jeff Albert. I mean, guys, we knew he was coming back. He's not going anywhere. And if you think he's the problem, you're just not paying attention. Because if you're going to blame him for whatever, I don't know what, we're going to blame him for Paul DeJong. We're going to blame him for Matt Carpenter getting old and having physical problems, I guess. But we're not going to credit him for Tyler O'Neill and his development. We're not going to credit him for the growth that Harrison Bader showed this year. I mean, you know, you can't have it just one way. You can't blame a guy for the problems and not give him credit for the guys that are getting better. And certainly, you know my position. Hitting coaches shouldn't get blame or credit. Hitters hit or they don't. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt doesn't hit well because of his hitting coaches. Paul Goldschmidt hits well because he's Paul Goldschmidt. And he's got the talent and he's had the work ethic. Same thing for Nolan Arenado. So, you know, I think that in general, hitting coaches and to a degree pitching coaches too get too much credit or blame. You know, like for example, it wasn't Mike Maddox's fault that 60% of the pitching staff in the first 3 months of the year couldn't throw strikes. Now, that's not his fault. They're grown-ass men. They're major league pitchers. If they can't throw strikes, that's on them. That's not on the pitching coach. But, you know, we're not rational about hitting coaches. I mean, and by the way, I saw this over the weekend. You know, Saris wrote about this for The Athletic, but he pointed out that the average tenure for a big league hitting coach right now is like a year and a half. So it's not just fans that blame the hitting coach. It's also front offices that find hitting coaches to be convenient scapegoats. And instead of, you know, doing what you should do, which is improve the roster, get more good hitters, you just blame the hitting coach and, pretend that change is going to spur some difference. And it can at times, but more often than not, the problem is not the hitting coach, it's the roster. All right, anyway, that's the news for the Cardinals today. I want to talk about the Rookie of the Year voting that just came out about an hour and a half ago. We'll talk a bit about where Dylan Carlson fit in, how many former Cardinals farmhands got votes in the Rookie of the Year voting in both leagues this year. We'll hit on that next up here on KMOX. Back in on KMOX, one more segment here in this hour. I got a little baseball here, a little baseball to start next hour. We'll talk some Billikens basketball and baseball with Bob Ramsey coming up starting at 7:15. So let's get to the Rookie of the Year voting. That came out just around 5 o'clock tonight, so a couple of hours ago, a little bit, maybe more like an hour and a half once they made the announcements. But Jonathan India of the Reds is the National League Rookie of the Year. No surprise, that's a great choice. He was the second most productive offensive rookie in Major League Baseball this year. He was, you know, one of the best second basemen in baseball. I think he was in the top three or four of all second basemen in Major League Baseball this year offensively. So Jonathan India was an easy choice. If you saw Trevor Rogers pitch for the Marlins, he finished second. No arguments to be made there. Trevor Rogers was awesome. Dylan Carlson finishing third there, and a solid third too. He was well ahead of the people that got votes behind him. Is a good thing. I mean, I think, you know, having Dylan Carlson with a strong rookie year, especially considering his age, that he's just 22, is a really good sign. In the American League, Randy Arozarena won the award. So another Cardinals, former Cardinals farmhand is the American League Rookie of the Year. He won it pretty easily, too, and deservedly so. But again, just keep in mind a few things. I mean, one, Arozarena is 4 years older than Dylan Carlson. He's a 26-year-old rookie. Now, I do think that, you know, I mean, you guys know I'm the guy that had the song Randy A up today, back in the day. You know, I'm a big Randy Arozarena fan. I think he's a hell of a player. and he had a really, really good year. I will say, though, that given the way the Cardinals' outfield has developed in the last calendar year, and given, you know, what Matthew Liberatore is as a prospect at the moment, they might not end up regretting that deal as much as it seemed like we would in October of 2020. You know, in October of 2020, when Randy Arozarena was just doing his best Babe Ruth impersonation, I'm right there with you. We were all going, oh boy, this one's going to hurt. But with the year that Tyler O'Neill had, with Bader actually having a pretty good offensive season and winning a Gold Glove, with Dylan Carlson, I think your outfield's going to be okay. I don't think that's going to be a deal you regret too much, so long as Matthew Liberatore is a quality major league starter. Even if he's not an ace, even if he's, you know, number three starter, I mean, that'll be a deal you won't regret too much. So hopefully he'll be at least that. But how about this? The Cardinals had, obviously, Dylan Carlson finish in the top three in the National League. Patrick Wisdom was the guy that finished behind him, a former Cardinals farmhand. Randy Arozarena wins in the American League. And they had Adolis Garcia, I think, finish fourth. So Cardinals player development, you know, guys that didn't make it here for obvious reasons. I mean, look, you know, Wisdom's a 29-year-old rookie. Garcia's not too far off of that. They were guys that just didn't have a spot here. You know, if you look at Wisdom's a first baseman, third baseman, you're good. You've got Goldschmidt and Arenado, man. You've got one surefire Hall of Famer and another one that's going to be in that kind of conversation if he stays healthy and plays another 4 or 5 years. So you're okay there. I mentioned already with the Arozarena. I mean, you're not. I don't think we're dying here with Carlson, Bader, and O'Neill, especially since O'Neill had a better year than Arozarena did, and is obviously a Gold Glove defender in addition to the offensive numbers. And I'd say that, you know, the same with Adolis Garcia. He wouldn't be playing over any of those three players. And by the way, after his hot start, Adolis Garcia really, really struggled. He struggled for the last 2 months of the season pretty badly. So we'll see what it means. But I do think it's interesting that you had four either current or former Cardinals farmhands that were involved in getting votes in the Rookie of the Year award this year. So great stuff from Jonathan India and Randy Arozarena, both of them very deserving Rookie of the Year votes. All right, so stick around. We got a lot more to do over the course of the next hour. I want to talk a bit more about the offseason leading into the expected, I was going to say potential lockout, but the expected lockout. We had a pretty decent-sized free agent signing today. It sounds like some of the other big deals might get done before December 1st. What does that mean, if anything? We'll look at that coming up next. We'll talk to Bob Ramsey at 7:15. And I want to talk later about Carlos Correa saying that Derek Jeter didn't deserve his Gold Gloves.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.